Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be with you today. Of course, at my age, I'm glad to be most anywhere. I heard a funny story the other day. It was about a mother who was trying to get her son up to worship on Sunday morning. And she was having trouble, and he said, "Mom, I don't want to go to church. Church is dry. It's dull. It's boring. I'm not inspired." She says, "I'll give you three good reasons why you should go to church. First of all, it's Sunday and a time of worship. Secondly, it can be lifting. It can be challenging. And the third reason you should go is you're the pastor." Thanks for the laugh. It encourages me. I want to read a scripture from Matthew 13. Verses 44 and 45. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field and to get the treasure too. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it." May God's word bless and comfort and strengthen you. Let us pray. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. During this last Lenten season, I found great inspiration and blessing in rereading the parables of Jesus. I had read them, of course, many times before, but this time they seemed to speak with new insight and understanding. And I'm always amazed how Jesus could take an ordinary story, an ordinary event in life, and teach a life lesson that will stand for all ages. And here in Matthew, he tells the story of a man who was walking one day and he saw something protruding out of the ground. He stopped to investigate, and as he began to dig, he found out that this was more than just something in the ground. It was rich treasure. And he dug it up, went back home, raised all the money he could, and bought the field with the treasure. Now, you have to understand that in those days there were no banks. There were no vaults. There were no credit unions. If you wanted to save something, you buried it. And so he finds this rich treasure. Now, again, we have to understand that if you bury something, you might happen to forget where you buried it. Or if it was in a time of war, you might have to leave your place. So it was not unusual for people to bury precious treasure, and it would remain in the ground for many, many years. And it seems to me that Jesus is saying in these stories that to belong to God and have a relationship with God is like finding an oil well. To have a relationship with God is like finding a gold mine. It's like finding a 10,000-acre farm. It says that when he discovered this, in his excitement, do you ever get excited about serving God? Do you look forward to excitement in Sunday morning worship? Now, I know Methodists used to get more excited in the past than they do today. Now, it's all right if you say amen. I belong to the old school. Methodists used to get rather excited, but not so much anymore. I wonder if we understand that to have a vital, living relationship with God can be an exciting experience. For we must understand that precious treasure can be lost. It is fleeting. It is passing. It is temporal. But a relationship with God is good for time and eternity. I feel quite sure that Methodists of yesteryear got excited about their faith. And you well know that in the last 40 years, we have lost more than 3 million members. In 1968, when the Methodist Church united with the EUBs, we had more than 11 million members. Today, we have about 8 million members. And we are in a division. We are divided. We're separated, and we have lost not only members, but we've lost a lot of enthusiasm. Let me share this, that when I moved to Hartford City in 1986, we had a community-wide Good Friday Lenten service. The stores downtown all closed for 2 hours on Good Friday. Well, that didn't last much longer. Good Friday in Hartford City is like a Good Friday in most places. It's business as usual. There was a time when we had higher respect for the church and for church ritual and church ceremony and church practice than we do today. I attended one basketball game in Hartford City this past year. The gym in Blackford County holds 4,000 people. You know what? It was packed. A lot of excitement in Blackford County over one basketball player by the name of Luke Brown. He's finishing his sophomore year. He was the leading scorer in the state of Indiana in the past couple of years. And so since he's been playing, the gym is packed. And I notice when I go to a basketball game that it's sometimes kind of noisy. People hoop and yell and holler and get excited and say bad words at the referee. And they give high fives, and everyone is happy over a basketball game. I wonder why. Now, why is it that we can go to a basketball game or a sporting event and give high fives and get excited and laugh and enjoy, and then we come to church and we're quiet as a mouse? Is it exciting to be forgiven of sin? Is it exciting to know that you're on the way to heaven? Isn't it exciting to know that God loves you? Isn't it exciting to know that God is going to be with you every step of the way? That God will never lay upon you more than you can bear? I think there's times when we can show a little emotion. We could get a little excited about how God is at work in our lives. But sometimes I'm in churches where people have a frown on their face and they look like maybe they had one friend and he was dead. But Jesus is saying here, in his excitement, he went and sold all that he has and bought the field. He didn't say, well, I guess I've got to do it. If this is what the Lord's laying on me, I'll bear it. I think we ought to enjoy serving the Lord. Amen. Hey. Amen. Theologians, biblical scholars tell us that within each one of us, there is a God-shaped vacuum. And this God-shaped vacuum will never be filled with fulfillment and satisfaction and peace and joy until it is filled with the power and the presence of God. And I think Jesus illustrates that so well in the 4th chapter of John when he meets the Samaritan woman at the well. You remember the story. The disciples have gone to town to buy food. And Jesus sees this lonely, defeated, discouraged Samaritan woman at the well. She has walked down the aisle to be married 5 times. She has been divorced 5 times. She has quit getting married and just lives with a fella at the time. Life has not treated her very well. And the reason that she comes at noon to the well to draw water is because that's the hottest time of the day. And the other women come together at the well in the morning when it's cool. But she's an outsider. She's not accepted. And Jesus asked this woman, "Would you give me a drink of water?" And she's a little aghast and thinking, "Why would you ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink of water?" And Jesus must have looked her in the eye and said, "Lady, if you only knew who was talking to you, and you only knew what I can give you, you would have asked me, and I would have given you rivers of living water." And Jesus went on to tell her about this living water that can bubble up within you and bring hope and joy and excitement and fulfillment to your life. And she was all ears. And she says, "Give me a drink." And she was so excited that she left her water pot there and went back into the town and said to the people, "Come see this prophet." And they came out and they listened and they begged Jesus to stay two more days. A woman wasn't looked upon very favorably in those days. But she was a convincing evangelist. She finally understood that Jesus can take a nobody and make a somebody. He can take a life that is empty and fill it with purpose and with meaning. He can take a life that is hopeless and fill it with hope and with enthusiasm. There's a God-shaped vacuum in every life, and it will never be filled to satisfactory until it is filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me share with you a beautiful experience I had just a few days ago. I'm a member of the Hartford City Rotary Club. And a few months ago, we made a sizable donation to the Blackford County Animal Shelter. They wanted to build some new buildings and make it much more comfortable, make it much more handy, make it much more better for dogs and cats. And so they wanted us to come out there, and they fed us there, not dog food, but good food. And after the meal, the two ladies that run the place, Pam and Cindy, told us about what was going on at that animal shelter. And they talked about those lost dogs and cats with passion. It wasn't just a job. For them, it was a calling. And at midnight, they were often called out to pick up stray dogs and stray cats. I like dogs and cats, but I don't want to pick one up at midnight. We had a tour, and dozens of dogs and cats, and all dogs and all cats, they had a name. They called them by name. They took care of those stray dogs and cats like they would take care of their own children. And I thought, I wonder if Methodist churches had more pastors and people that loved other people like those girls love dogs and cats, we wouldn't be losing 3 million members. Because they just smiled when they talked about those dogs and cats and how they wanted to care for them. And if someone comes in to adopt one, they don't just say, well, you can have them. They interview them. They talk with them. They evaluate them. Will they take care of this dog or this cat? I wish we would do like that in the church. To care deeply for one for another. Sometimes people can walk in and out and kind of disappear. Caring. You know what? I thought if I was a dog or a cat, I'd run to that animal shelter as quickly as I can. Because there's security there. There's food there. There's warmth there. There's caring there. And I would pray that our congregations might care, might love, might reach out. It's a hurting world. It's a troubled world. There's lots of lost boys and girls out there, men and women. Do we really care? Do we really care? In closing, let me tell you about my new friend, Brian Blevins. His name may ring a bell. Myra had him here on New Year's Day, I believe, of 2018. Maybe it was 2017. But he spoke here. Brian Blevins was a normal student at Blackford High School. But he started experimenting with drugs and alcohol when he was a senior. And after graduation, he continued to do so. And his life was going to hell in a handbasket. He was in and out of jail. His marriage broke up. But one night in Blackford County Jail, he was awakened by a chaplain who told him about Jesus Christ and how he could change his life and fill his life with hope and with meaning and power and purpose. Brian invited Jesus Christ into his life. After spending several weeks in jail, he was released from jail. But he still had an ankle bracelet on so that the Blackford County Police Department knew where he was 24/7. But he started an addiction program at Grace Methodist. And that meeting, even yet today, after a couple of years, maybe 3 years, will run from maybe 50 to 150 or 200 on Sunday night. And I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot different service Sunday night than it is Sunday morning. Sunday morning, you could hear a pin drop in Grace Methodist. Sunday night, there's a lot of freedom. They're not afraid to say amen, glory to God, hallelujah. Preach it, brother. They hug one another. They love one another. They support one another. They encourage one another. They have found the living water. And they're drinking freely. And they want others to drink of it freely. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, if you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But the water that I give will be a well, a spring of living water that will last throughout all eternity. Thanks be to God. We have a message to share. We have a story to tell that can change and transform our lives. And it's not just good for a few weeks or a few months, but it's good for all eternity. As we sing on Sunday morning, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. It's lasting. It's just not good in some periods of life and other periods non-existent. It's something good for every decade of life. So I pray that we might get excited again about the message of Jesus Christ and having a relationship with Him. That is good no matter what is going on in the outside. It is a peace that passes all understanding. Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for these moments that we have had together. Bless this beautiful congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.